Morning. Some reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12, starting at verse 1. It's on in the church Bibles on page 682. A living sacrifice to God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is to serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tight to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honourable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone. Morning. It's lovely to be here on this sunny morning at last. We've got some sun and not rain. Let's pray before we begin. Father, by your Spirit, would you speak to each of us as we read and study your word and highlight those things that you want each of us to learn and to put into practice. For Jesus' sake, amen. So how are you feeling about the Romans so far? Have you enjoyed climbing the mountain? Well, we're coming to the last few chapters now, so shall we just do a quick sprint up that mountain again to remind ourselves where we've been so far? So we've been trapped in the valley of sin, deserving of God's judgment, unable to break ourselves free. And then at the crux of salvation, God stepped in to save us. God transferred the righteousness of Christ to us on the cross. So now we are justified by faith in Jesus alone, just as if we never sinned. Then we came to the place of peace with God, no longer his enemies, and having that free access into his presence. And travelling along the ridge of freedom, we reach the summit of hope. There's now no condemnation for those who believe and trust in Jesus. We are children of God, heirs along with Jesus, of all that God has planned for us for eternity. Nothing now can separate us from the love of God. Salvation is for everyone, Jew and Gentile alike, no barriers to those who would want to follow Jesus. So we can take a lovely deep breath now. Look at that glorious view before us of everything that God has done on our behalf. But now it's time to make that descent. We go down a different way because we're going to end up in a different place to where we began as we learn how to apply what we've learnt to daily life. And this is what the rest of the letter is all about. It's the what now, or the and so. What should our response be to the incredibly good news of what God has done for us through his son Jesus? Now, I love the Message version of the first few verses of Romans 12. So it says here, I'll put it up on the screen so you can follow it if you want to. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for us is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to their level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. So there's two things I think that stick out to me from that passage. And the first one is that God is in the business of transformation. God loves us and accepts us exactly as we are when we come to him, but he loves us too much to leave us there. And the second point is transformation is not just about us. It's about being agents of transformation with God. It's about our relationships with one another in church and those we meet day to day as we go out of the building. So the next slide, please, Pat. Thank you. So the gospel or good news isn't just about getting us into heaven when we die. Jesus also gave up his life to restore something to us that's been lost. Now the Bible tells us that God made people in his own image at the beginning. And when Adam disobeyed God in Eden, that image of God within him was broken. As a result, he was sent out from the presence of God and he suffered a spiritual death. That close friendship he'd enjoyed in the garden with God ended. He lost that ability to hear God's voice clearly and he took on the nature of God's enemy, Satan. So ever since then, all human beings are born into that very same nature. It's in our DNA. We're slaves to sin and its effects, and we're unable to break free of that. But when you make that decision to put your trust in Jesus, by faith, God gives us a completely new nature. We're literally born again. We're a new creation. And then God places his Holy Spirit in us to restore that broken image back to how it should be. We may not always feel that presence of the Spirit in us, but he is always there, always willing to speak and to guide. It's about getting us back to the Father and getting the Father back into us. So it's about getting us back to the Father and getting the Father's presence in us. So God's goal is that we will share the character of Jesus, be able to think and act as he does. We're renewed, holy, set apart for the world, for God. We just sung it in the song, haven't we? And Jesus says if we're going to follow him, we'll have to let go of that old way of living, which meant doing life our way. To literally take it off, put it down and walk away and don't look back. And then put on the new one that he gives us like a new coat and surrender to the Holy Spirit, to his way, trusting him to lead us every moment. Now this new nature isn't just about being morally good people. The devil really doesn't care if you're a good person. He's not bothered in the slightest about how much you give to the poor or volunteer in community projects or kind to people. Anyone can do those things. What he cares about is whether you will bow your knee to Jesus and surrender your life to him. Will we do that, or will we continue to allow the devil to have a greater influence over us through compromising that integrity we've got as followers of Jesus? Now, we can never really pay God back for what he's done for us, but we can live in a way that honours him by offering him all that we are. It's what we do with our time, what we do with our money, our work life, our relationships, what we put into our minds, our abilities. Everything matters to him. And the only way God can bring about this transformation is if we collaborate with him. It's a process. It takes time. It's never instant. So Paul says this in Philippians 1. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So who does the work? God does. God is committed to seeing it through. The Bible calls it sanctification. Walk in that narrow way of Jesus, being changed step by step, sometimes trotting along beside him, sometimes falling over and needing him to pick us up. Sometimes we even go back a few steps and have to relearn that same lesson over and over, until finally our life comes to an end or Jesus returns and that process will be completed. So this path of devotion is a radical route. It's not called the narrow way for nothing. It will involve costly decisions to go God's way and not the way of the world. It will mean trying to be really sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit within and walking away from some activities, some situations, even people we know sometimes, when we feel that deep inside we know it's wrong and it's not honouring God. We may even be told, come on, you take this Jesus thing too seriously. But sometimes we'll also get off track. But Jesus, like a good sat-nav, will get us back onto that route when we repent and turn round and follow him again. There's always a way back. Living sacrifices often do crawl off the altar, don't they? So we need to keep getting back into that position of surrender, again and again, opening our hearts to the Spirit every day. And in Ephesians, Paul writes this, For we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now there's a story about a cricket captain, C.T. Studd, who was captain in the 1800s, and he was heir to a huge fortune. It would be the equivalent of about £4 million in today's money. But in 1855, he gave it all up to go and share the gospel in China. And he said, if Christ be God and he died for me, what sacrifice would be too great for me to make for him? We may never be called to be a missionary in China, but God does have a special purpose for each one of us. And when our thinking is transformed, it's these good things that God calls us to do will be for the right motives, because we're thankful for what God has done for us, and it's not a way to earn his forgiveness. Could you do slide number 9, please, Pat? So anyone who has genuinely surrendered to Jesus will always show that transforming work, the Holy Spirit in their lives. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. His Spirit for that reason. And one thing we must not do is compare ourselves to other Christians and what they're doing in church, worrying that God is not happy and what if we're not doing the same things. A couple of weeks ago I was in a conference, and during the time of worship one of the leaders had a word from God, and he said this: some of you here need to hear that you are not a tool in God's work belt. You are a photo in his wallet. And I'm sharing that because it hit me really hard and very powerfully, and I just hope it speaks to someone else today. You are his precious child. You are not just someone he wants to use. All the transformation comes out of that special place that you have in his heart. If I go back to the Message version of Romans 12:3, it says, the only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and what he has done for us, not by who we are and what we do for him. So if we want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, we need to make space for the Holy Spirit to teach us. Space to listen. Space to desire to respond. If we ask him to speak as we read scripture, he's going to help us learn what he wants us to do. But then we need to do it. Obeying is the key to growing in this to this new creation that we're becoming. So as we spend time in prayer, worship, trying those spiritual disciplines that we were talking about over the last year or so, we will learn to hear his voice clearer as he guides us. The closer we walk with him, the more this road will begin to feel like home, and we'll want to let his truth be the light that guides us. And the second point is that we are agents of transformation. If you've given your heart to Jesus, it's his heart that beats in us. His compassion, his love for the lost and everyone around us, and it should guide us how we will act to them. Though transformation starts in our minds, it should spread out to our relationships within the church and to other people in the community, out as we take it into the world. When our son needed a kidney transplant, just over a year ago, he got the call at work one morning to say, we've got a kidney for you, you've got to get here quick, as soon as you can, it's on its way now. And the hospital had this maximum window of 36 hours to get that kidney into his body. If you need a heart transplant, it's even less, it's 6 hours, believe it or not. But neither of these organs can survive outside the body, and we can't survive without them either. It's possible to be a Christian on your own, but it's so much harder, and it's not ideally how God designed us to be. We can't flourish outside the body of the believers. This church cannot flourish without you playing your part. Paul in verse 4 is saying we need each other. We find our meaning and our purpose as part of Christ's body. We may not have that much in common, but we have the only things that really matter. And that's we are united around Jesus. And the Holy Spirit brings us together. God has given us all the gifts and talents to use for the benefit of each other in this church and the community. It's here in this room. Our job is to recognize those things in ourselves and look out for those things in others too. And then humbly use them, not holding any of it back. So if you've begun to feel part of this church, that this church is your home for a little while, maybe now is the time for you to think, what is God's purpose for you here? And it's okay to be not sure about what those gifts and talents are yet, to try things out and to see if it is the right thing for you. When I first arrived in this church, our then vicar Richard assumed that as I had two little boys, that I would be really good as a Sunday school leader. You know what's coming, don't you? It didn't take me long to realise it was a big mistake. Wow. I really did try, but it wasn't me and it wasn't right. And for the sake of those lovely children, I admitted it and I moved on. With time, by trying other things, I did end up finding the right roles over the last 25 years plus that I've been here. There are so many things that you can be part of. From the coffee team, the music team, the youth and children's work, parent and baby activities, toddler ministry, older people's ministry, even gardening if you fancy it. And there's so many things that I haven't mentioned. So come and talk to Scott afterwards, or at any time. That's all right, isn't it, Scott? Any time if you're feeling a nudge from God about something that you feel he's calling you to do here. And Scott will help you find your place too. So being together as the body of Christ is how we learn to love those we wouldn't normally spend time with, even those we really don't like very much or get on with. As we do our best to try and live in harmony, looking out for one another, wanting the best for each other, refusing to gossip or jump to conclusions, and especially recognizing if we've been the ones to cause pain, that we need to be the first ones to go and make it right. That way we stop the devil doing what he loves to do, which is stir up trouble in the family of God. Jesus calls us to go beyond those boundaries of human love, to love from the center of who we are, even showing genuine love to those who hate us or cause problems for us outside the church. This kind of love is not something you can force. It only comes from God, through allowing him to transform the way we think and the way we act, as we hand those hurt feelings, those desires for revenge, our hatred, our resentment, our pride, self-centeredness, or even the need to be right. We hand those to Jesus and ask for his power to help us respond with love instead. All this while doing our best to trust that God will deal with those who have caused us hurt and suffering in his way and in his time. So remember, Jesus did not only die to give us eternal life with God, he died to restore the image of God in us, to get us back to the Father and to get the Father's love and presence back into us. So I just want us to end with having two or three questions that you might want to think about over this coming week and the coming weeks ahead. So you might just want to close your eyes now and just ask God to answer these questions for you, or to show you what he might want you to do. So transforming our thinking will need us to make some really challenging changes. How can you begin to think more about the kinds of things you are putting into your mind? The things that maybe you watch, you scroll through on your phone, things that you're reading or listening to, things that compromise your spiritual health. Do they help you think and become more like Jesus? Or do they take you back to how things were once before? The second thing is, do you know what your particular gifts and abilities are that God might want you to use in this church community? If you're already serving, is it the thing God is wanting you to continue with, or are you being called to something new? And the third thing is thinking about love and relationships in and out of the church. Is there someone you can encourage or thank today? Is there someone you know you need to ask forgiveness from? Or maybe someone you are struggling to love or forgive and would like to ask for some prayer to help you make the right next move. If that's the case, the prayer ministry team are here if you need them after the service. So I'm just going to leave you with a few moments to think through those things. How can you begin to think more about the kinds of things you're putting into your mind? Do you know what your particular gifts are? And is there something relationship-wise that God might be wanting you to look at today?